Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, a couple sections. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? But who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the text. I wonder if you noticed the back and forth in this, the naming back and forth. And it goes from Peter to Jesus and Jesus back to Peter. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And soon after that, you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. Who Jesus is changes who you are. There is a tower along a not often traveled path in Oregon. It's one of these back roads through the mountains. And as you climb up it, you notice that you're going into rubble-strewn volcanic areas. And you see more and more of this black rock, and then you come around a corner and there's this tower. It's a little bit of a strange thing to see. Somebody years and years ago went up there and started gathering rocks together and put them together into a foundation, and then on that foundation took more and more, sometimes very large rocks, these black volcanic rocks, and started building a tower. Three floors, including the top one, which is open to the sky. Ground up more of the rocks and mixed them with proper mixing of cement. Mortared everything together. And the whole thing just blends in with a black, volcanic, rubble-strewn field of rocks as far as the eye can see. You climb up into the tower and you go up to the top, and there are these slots with the names of the mountains around. It's quite impressive. Causes me to think about the church. Who are you? Well, the question is, who is Jesus? When Jesus says, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, the key to knowing the meaning is in figuring out that it is not simply Peter, not simply the 12 apostles, not simply the pastors of the church. It's the confession. That's the thing. What binds everything together is the confession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter had it right. It's who Jesus is. And when that is your confession, then you are called blessed by God and made into a little living stone. And Jesus builds his church with all those little living stones that confess who he is, and we are being built into the church. Years later, Peter would say, in his later life, in one of his letters, he was probably asked about these verses in Matthew. He would say, it's in 1 Peter chapter 2, as you come to him, the living stone rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. A spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices. And those are dangerous words to anybody who would grab a hold of and control this whole thing called church, because it is no longer a building you come to, and the priesthood is not a pastor who does spiritual things in front of you and for you, and offering spiritual sacrifice, that's not money. That's all of life. You are the living stones mortared together and called church. Jesus took Peter, who was lost without the confession of faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. He took Peter and brought him into life. He takes us like a field of dead rubble if we are separated from him. And he connects us together and builds us on himself, builds us together into a spiritual house, a living church. You and Peter and every other confessor of Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, are raised up into a different place. Jesus rewrites what it means to be human by becoming one of us, and then by taking our nature and our flesh, bringing that flesh to the cross, and in that flesh earning forgiveness and life and salvation, and with that flesh being laid in the tomb so he can conquer death itself, and on the third day raising up that human flesh, transforming our nature so that we are to be made like him. As Paul says, God the Father has destined us to be conformed to the image of Christ, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so we are given a place of prominence in the universe, being part of the family of God. And we are given the sin-forgiving gospel to carry with us in our heart, in our souls, and to have on our lips. And given the right to talk with God any time, any place, and have our prayers and relationship as disciples and followers of Jesus. Well, that is part of God writing and rewriting the whole course of human history so that it ends not in tragedy, not in death, but in glory and eternity. And the spiritual sacrifices? Well, those are every part of life that is offered to God, every word, every action, every moment, to bring glory to God and to spread the kingdom of Jesus Christ, Christ the Son of God, the Son of the living God. That is what it means to make confession of who he is. You look at the words as Jesus spoke them to Simon Peter. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. See, he doesn't say, well done, Peter, you learned your lesson well. Very clever, you're the prize student today. He says, blessed are you, which is the opposite of clever or highly achieving. Flesh and blood cannot dig this truth out of the scripture, the spiritual truth. It has to be God himself who reveals it. So blessed are you, favored by God because he has smiled on you and thrown open his heaven by this knowledge of who Jesus is. You didn't plant it. You didn't find it. You didn't figure it out. Okay? You didn't build it. You didn't start walking this spiritual road. It was God who put his hand on you and God who gave the confession. For by grace have you been saved, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. You see, technically, it is not the confession that opens up heaven for Peter. Technically, it is the person he's confessing. It is Jesus who opens up heaven for Peter, who then calls Peter his friend, who laid down his life for Peter. And you ask, how did Jesus open up the kingdom of heaven to Peter? Well, it is by the words of the gospel, by the word of God planted into Peter's soul, planted into his heart. It is God the Father who opens up heaven by the confession of his own Son, the Christ, the Son of the living God, that God the Father gave to Peter. Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And it is the Holy Spirit who, taking those words from God and having them to use as his tool, works those words all through the soul of Peter and brings forth a thing called faith. And with that gift of God, Peter then speaks, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus Christ builds his church on that confession about the teaching, the life, the dying, and the rising of Jesus himself. He is at the center from beginning to end, and all who make the good confession are living stones built into that house, that spiritual house that Jesus is building. Again, notice the back and forth. Who we are comes right out of who Jesus is. He makes himself the mirror of our nature. You are the Christ. You are Peter, the Son of the living God. And on this rock I will build my church. But here's something that Peter didn't quite understand. To be the Christ, yes, it means the anointed, given the Holy Spirit without measure. And so Peter receives the Holy Spirit, Jesus being the mirror. And yes, Son of the living God means that now Peter is called a child of God, and you and I are too. Son of the living God, and yes, that means being given the blessing of eternal life, to have that life within us. But the Christ means anointed for the purpose of suffering and dying and rising. And so immediately after this text, Jesus will begin to teach them again that he had to go up to Jerusalem to be killed and rise again. And Peter did not get that. He did not know how it was absolutely necessary, because without the cross, without the empty tomb, we couldn't have any of this salvation or be children of God or have any of the eternal life within us. And it is only because Jesus is the Christ, the one to bleed and die and be laid in the tomb and rise. No crossless Christ, no Christ without the suffering of the Christ. And that is what buys us and sets us free. But all of this is bound up in the confession, and the confession captures the words of God. And by that word of God binds us to Jesus. And so Jesus is the foundation. He is the rock of ages. And we are called living stones. Why? Because there is Jesus within us. He dwells within us personally. And so we get named after who he is and what he is. And what binds us together, that again is from Jesus. It is the words of Jesus that bind us to him. That's the mortar. The word of God that binds you to Jesus, and the word of God that binds you to one another. And as long as that mortar of the word of God, that mortar of the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, binds us together and binds us to Jesus, then we are that spiritual house founded on Jesus, the rock of ages. And as long as that is the way it is, then there is eternity here. And there is eternity within you. And that eternity faces down, defeats, and sweeps away any challenge to the salvation and the eternity, the eternal life that God has decided to give through Jesus, his Son, through the Christ, the Son of the living God. In his name, amen.